90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Welcome to Native Spirit here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for the next hour. Hope you guys are enjoying this wonderful snowy Christmas Eve. It's such a nice sight to wake up to this morning. I think you guys got more snow in Kansas City than we did in Lawrence because it's still on the ground and kind of melted away out there in Lawrence. But you guys enjoyed it, and we're going to go sledding outside. We'll get started with some music, and I thought I'd play a Christmas song. It's a native style Christmas song. This is Mr. Randall Pascoman. He is one of the singers for War Scout drum group, and he comes from the Plains Cree people. He's a member of the Sweetgrass First Nation of Saskatchewan, Canada. And he does a lot of round dance songs. And he put out one CD that is just specifically Christmas cheer round dance songs. So I thought I played one of them. So this is Mr. Randall Pascoman, and this one's called Kokum Surprise. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Kokum! Merry Christmas, Kokum!
Oh, done, see. Aha, mi uman tog isikao.
Nakukum.
Here's your present. Open it, open it.
Yahao. Wapaksi sakjioke. Jesqua. My fly swatter no I donaten.
Moya, Kukum. They are weasels. There's four of them.
Na, siku sakti. Wah, wah.
Hi, sir. My name is
Horace.
Dance,
must one see that, sir.
Hello, my name is Mikey.
Oosh. Equal this one, I'll name him Bingo.
Oh,
ghost dancing in 12-inch ceremony mixed in reverse. I want to go back. Back to when hand drum circle cipher sessions spun the world. I've been ghost dancing on this modern platter of cemented long walks. I pray for buffalo with hose-like hail. Stampede, please bump the table. Please bump the table. I can dance my toes over their grooved backs. Listen to the way hide grinds like pine nuts and gore to the hip-hop of extinct knees that snaps beautiful like a b-boy. The tribe is back. Quests no longer find thin sacks of bones in the plains. I've been ghost dancing, and I can see Narbona. Crazy Horse, ODB, Notorious B.I.G., and Red Cloud jump from their paved-over graves. I hear tribal wisdom. I hear words. I hear prayer. I hear hands. Jam Master Jay shows us Shabik Eh. Through repetition, we dance. Through repetition, we dance. My moccasins need to be tied with the deer hide, fat lace, spit shine, sterling silver stamp. Gotta look vamp before b-boys rip through stage. Decked out in braids, turquoise chains hang for days like 1862 Sioux warrior ways. And us new braves smile, cause Wovoka! Natives don't gotta be the only ones who come back. John Lennon, Robert Johnson, and Keith Moon play Eagle Bone Whistle inside Bob Marley's peyote clouds. We are rainbow proud. Forever, like Krylon feathers, we bomb this world in medicine wheel colors. Blue coats point their Gatling guns, but the bullets pass through us. Way ah-hey-hi-ya. The bullets pass through us, spreading spiritless splatters on the walls. They say graffiti is a stain. So like Wounded Knee, we sink in. Paint our faces black mask like we're mad villains dressed in ghost jerseys. We dance on aerosol petroglyphs. Our signatures lie upon all the silver in this glittering world. Shaolin is a cedar pine hogan. And Thug Mansion, a deer hide teepee. And we mix these gathering nations until we all permeate sage. So we bless ourselves and dance. We dance to remember. We dance until the world is gone. Everyone is gone. The world's a ghost and everything is silent. So we drop the sun dagger onto vinyl. And let it sing.
Give Big to My Station is a nationwide year-end effort to support local community radio stations just like yours, KKFI. Your year-end gift will go a long way toward keeping the programming you know and love right here where you like it. KKFI has made it simple. Just go to KKFI.org and click the donate button, and thank you for listening.
Support for KKFI brought to you by California's Restaurant. I'm Eddie Moore, host of the Jazz Nebula, the open jam session every Wednesday from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. at California's Saloon on Mill Street. My special guest and I host an impromptu evening of Kansas City Jazz every Wednesday night. You can learn about reservations at californos.com, but they are not necessary. That's every Wednesday from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m.
Donate that unwanted car, boat, truck, or motorcycle to KKFI and get a tax deduction for your donation? Find out more by calling 866-628-2277.
All right, you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for this hour. I hope you're enjoying your Christmas Eve, right before Christmas. Hope everybody's going to get the gifts they want tomorrow. And it's snowy out. It's really, really nice out. Well, so this week, it was just kind of a nutty week in Native news. And so one of the things that came out was that there is a National Diversity Coalition for Trump, and they have people who represent different groups on this coalition. And they came out saying, we have a Native American ambassador for Trump. Her name is Kaya Jones. And as soon as this kind of hit the internet, hit Twitter, a lot of people started Googling her and trying to find out who she was. And a lot of people found out through Twitter because she was tweeting about her involvement with the National Diversity Coalition for Trump. And right away, of course, this is what native Twitter does. They do their research and trying to find out, you know, who is Kaya Jones? Turns out that she was a past member of the Pussycat Dolls. I think that's what they said. And she is, she still is a singer. She's on her own now. And, she does a lot of other things. I guess she was, does a lot of concerts, and so she is a big Trump supporter. She said her father, in some of her tweets, because people were asking her what is her background, her father was Apache, and she said he was 90% Apache, so I don't know how we get that percent, but he's Apache, and he lived, and this was off of her Twitter, he lived on a reservation in Dallas. And so a lot of people were like, there is no reservation in Dallas, or there is no Apache reservation in Dallas. She also said the reservation he was from was removed. And so kind of all these little tiny items that people were starting to question about her authenticity to who she was. So I went and I found one of my friends. His name is Douglas Miles. He is from San Carlos Apache Tribe. He is a he started his own company called Apache Skateboards, and they do really great work. He does a lot of great artwork on the skateboards, but also as well as just doing paintings. He's really well known in Arizona. He's also been on Viceland, and there was a show called Abandoned, and so they went out to Arizona to film him and some of people he knows and his son skateboarding. And what they do is they show these abandoned places, and so they were going and skateboarding in these areas around Arizona. So anyway, I asked Mr. Miles, what did he think of Miss Kaya Jones coming out and saying, you know, she was Apache, since he is San Carlos Apache. The other question was, people were asking what band of Apache she was, and some people thinking she doesn't know that there's different bands of Apache, like there is different groups of Lakota, different groups of Pueblos, stuff like that. So I'm going to play one of the little tidbits here. This is Mr. Douglas Miles of Apache Skateboards and his response to what he thought of Miss Kaya Jones saying she was Apache.
Well, I think her claims of being Apache are it's an odd thing. But I think her claim, just in a broader sense, of being Native American is even stranger, because Native American people, Native people in Native community, as a friend once used to say, it's like 6 degrees of separation. And we either kind of all know who each other, know of each other, but in particular in Native American communities, we know who and who isn't from the community, or who and who isn't Native. We know that. And then, not to mention the our matrilineal clan line class system actually tells us things about one another, about families, and it actually helps us trace our own unique ancestry way before ancestry.com.
All right, so that's Mr. Douglas Miles of Apache Skateboards responding to Miss Kaya Jones, Native American ambassador on the National Diversity Coalition for Trump. And so he was just responding to that. And then I went and asked him about, you know, a lot of the Native people that were kind of upset with her responses. I was asking him if he thought that the response, you know, that the backlash was due to the fact that she is a person who just came out of the woodwork, out of nowhere, who hasn't really done anything for Native people, and now all of a sudden she's representing it, if he felt that was the reason for part of the backlash.
Of course, it's a big part of the backlash, but it also feels like a finely orchestrated hoax, almost like some type of Russian operative put out there on Twitter to really create this, this really frustrating point of view from a non-Native claiming to be Native. And Native people in general already feel marginalized. They already are marginalized. They already feel underrepresented. And they already are underrepresented. So any of the frustration of Native people, any of the backlash from Native people, Apache or non-Apache, is very real, and it's justified because of the lack of representation in media, of the lack of representation in film, the lack of representation in sports, that across the board Native American people are beyond underrepresented. But I want to be very careful not to wave a victimhood flag, if you will, but it's statistically and it's true. Native people are almost invisible.
Okay, so I'm speaking with Douglas Miles of Apache Skateboards, responding to the Kaia Jones Apache claims, as well as, what she plans on doing for the National Diversity Coalition for Trump. I actually did contact her through Twitter and as well as through email. I sent her a bunch of questions that I wanted to do an interview with her, and I have not received a response since then, but that's okay. You know, I'm using what I've seen on her Twitter account, and I'm pretty sure she's getting inundated with a lot of questions. One of the other issues that came up with her was that she was using the term half-breed, and she was calling her brother half-breed as well. She takes great pride, apparently, in calling herself a half-breed. And I also asked Mr. Douglas Miles of Apache Skateboards what he thought about that. And you can actually follow him on Twitter. He's under Apache Skateboards, and then another one called What Tribe. But I asked him if he had tweeted about this one, too.
No, I didn't, because I don't talk about half-breeds. I mean, I don't use the term half-breed. It's a derogatory term. You know, Native people have, for the most part, most Native people have moved on from that term simply because Native people have been intertribal, and have come from mixed backgrounds now for a while now. It's not new. Native tribes intermarrying, Native people intermarrying with non-Natives, so it's not something that's unique. And I think that's part of the reason why, Native people don't even talk about that. And that's actually a derogatory term, simply because so many Native people are, mixed background, And that's just, that's actually normal.
All right. So, like I said, again, I was talking to Douglas Miles of Apache Skateboards and getting his feedback about what he thought about Miss Kaia Jones. She is the Native American ambassador for the National Diversity Coalition for Trump. And she just was out this week talking about it. And so, a lot of Native people were coming out after her, asking her a bunch of questions, and especially with her using the term half-breed. And the oddest thing about this, this happened yesterday. She had posted Cher's video for the song Half-Breed that Cher did, and so that kind of stirred the pot again, and people started involving Cher in this conversation, and a person I know, Ms. Jacqueline Keeler, who's been on the show as well, responded back with Cher added into the conversation on Twitter, and Cher called Jacqueline the B word. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is not good. This is going down. This is a train wreck right now. She did say yes, the whole song should be retired, but she was, yeah, it was just not good. And like Mr. Miles says, you know, people don't use that term anymore. We don't say that to each other. We don't respond to each other like that. It's just, again, it is a derogatory term. So I did say, you know, if Miss Kaya Jones is Apache, you know, what kind of response or how would that welcome back be into the Apache homelands from Mr. Miles' perspective. So again, this is Douglas Miles of Apache Skateboards responding about how she would be welcome back if she is Apache.
Well, I think usually first what happens when a Native person finds out, you know, that they're from the Apache tribe, let's say, and they were adopted out, usually the family is notified first. The individuals will find out who their real family members are, and almost always the family is aware of it, but because it's the old adoption laws, and thank God for the Indian Child Welfare Act, which is a whole other episode, because without ICWA, Indian kids would be stolen and adopted out ad infinitum like they were. And so with the Indian Child Welfare Act, it stopped the constant adoption and stealing of Indian kids and sending them off to live with non-Native families with no connection whatsoever to culture, to land, to region, to blood relatives. So, and sometimes, you know, families get adopted, sometimes children would get adopted out because families would break up or something tragic would happen to the family. But coming back to the tribe, families already know who was adopted out. Families don't forget. Indian families don't forget. Indian people don't forget when a loved one is adopted away, even though they're adopted away and but they may never come back. But Indian people never forget who was taken away or who was adopted out or who was, you know, given away. We don't forget. It doesn't mean just because some of our family members are adopted out does not necessarily mean we didn't want them or we didn't take care of them. This is what mainstream media and anti-HIPAA people say. Oh, they didn't want them or they didn't take care of them. That's not necessarily true. Sometimes tragic things happen in all families, in Indian families in particular, and children are adopted out, sometimes often for good reasons and for very real reasons. But we never forget. You know, it's never that, oh, we wanted that person gone. We always remember if it was adopted out. And so if someone comes back to the Apache family, there's usually a great amount of joy and a great amount of celebration.
All right, so that was Mr. Douglas Miles of Apache Skateboards giving his comments on the Kaya Jones issue going on. She's the Native American ambassador for the National Diversity Coalition for Trump. She just came out this week stating that. That's what she's going to be doing. And as far as what she's going to be doing, we don't know exactly yet. And so I did reach out to Ms. Kaya Jones to get her comments as well, but I have not heard back from her. But I appreciate Mr. Douglas Miles for doing that interview for me this past week. I appreciate his words, and make sure you follow him on Twitter. He's at Apache Skateboards and What Tribe. Again, that's on Twitter. So thanks a lot, Doug. Okay, so that's the Kaya Jones thing going on. If you guys get on Twitter, I'm pretty sure you can just do the hashtag and you'll see all the tweets that have been coming up this past week. It really is just a circus of stuff that's been happening. But interesting, as this year comes to a close, interesting thing going on. All right, well, I will play a song and then I will be right back with you guys. This is Mr. John Trudell and Rocking the Rez. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Listen to the skies, listen to the sun. Something on the land, something going down. down dressers speeding by life. Beaver's heart, burning rivers to cross. Walls of Babylon, material noise, thinking they've touched the moon. Freedom takes a rocket blast. Just another day, like yesterday. Rocking my heart, rocking the reds. Woman like you, times like this. All that's real, next to you. Happy medicine, making me smile. Seeing you laugh, getting so near. Rocking our hearts, rocking the reds. Carrying on like he ain't been gone. Warmaker's back in town. His notion taking care of us. Not same as, not even close to our notion of taking care of us. Nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. Got no job and prices going up. Warmaker's back in town. Just another day, like yesterday. Rocking the reds. No chance we're gonna ever give up. Together we'll dance a personal dance. Sweet starts surrendering only to each other. These days holding the night, holding on tight. Rocking our hearts, rocking the reds.
Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here, and that was John Trudell with Rocking the Reds. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, I was doing that interview with Mr. Douglas Miles about his comments on the Kaya Jones issue that's going on, the National Diversity Coalition for Trump, and she is our Native American ambassador. So you can look her up and do it on Twitter. She's on there, and I'm pretty sure you can just Google her as well. All right. Well, you know, I do this before the end of the year. One of the things is, you know, this time of holiday, it's not all happy for everybody. And I always want to make sure I pay tribute to an event that's coming up, and that is the, you know, just to honor the people who passed away at Wounded Knee that happened in December 29th, 1890. And that anniversary is coming up, and, you know, it's I think, you know, the whole tribe that this affected, the Oglala Lakota people, the Lakota people, they do remembrances for this, and they have a ride and they have a run, and to remember those people that passed away. But I'm going to read Mr. Tim Gallego's post about this, his writing, and this is called "Wounded Knee: A Day of Infamy." and his, you know, his rendition of this event. So on December 29th, 1990, the Lakota people gathered to mourn the 100th anniversary of the massacre of their people at Wounded Knee. To the white people of South Dakota, and yes, to the rest of America, December 29th, 1990 is just another day, but to the Lakota people, December 29th is a day they have commemorated every year since 1890. It was a day when nearly 300 of their relatives were shot to death in cold blood by the enlisted men and officers of the United States 7th Cavalry. Ironically, 21 members of the 7th Cavalry were awarded medals of honor for this horrific slaughter of men, women, and children. Perhaps the American soldiers who slaughtered the men, women, and children at My Lai in Vietnam should have received medals of honor, too. Perhaps as many as 500 Vietnamese were massacred there. White people ask why we Lakota still talk about Wounded Knee as if it was not ancient history. It's something terrible happened to your grandmother. That's right, your grandmother. Something so heinous that it became a part of American history. Would you still consider that to be ancient history? I think not. A grandmother can never be ancient history. The memory of her is much too near. Consider this. On December 29th, 1890, my grandmother Sophie was an 18-year-old employee at the Holy Rosary Indian Mission, a Jesuit boarding school just a few miles from Wounded Knee. She was called to help feed and water the horses of the soldiers of the 7th Cavalry that had just rode on the mission grounds, chasing down survivors that had escaped the slaughter. My grandmother never talked about it, and I never learned about it until reading a Holy Rosary anniversary article mentioning her name and the events that occurred on that infamous day. My grandmother, who is now deceased, heard and saw the aftermath of that day. Now, does that make the massacre at Wounded Knee ancient history to me? It most definitely does not. Many other Lakota still living today had grandmothers and grandfathers that were either killed or survived the massacre. No, it's not ancient history to the Lakota. To us, it seems like only yesterday. In early December of 1990, as the 100th anniversary of the massacre at Wounded Knee approached, I wrote the cover story for USA Today. I quoted an editorial that appeared in the Aberdeen, South Dakota Saturday Review on January 3, 1891, just 5 days after the massacre. The author wrote about those terrible Redskins, his favorite word for Indians. He wrote, "The pioneer has been declared that our only safety depends upon the total extermination of Indians. Having wronged them for centuries, we had better, in order to protect our civilization, follow it up by one or more wrong and wipe these untamed and untamable creatures from the face of the earth." That editorial calling for the genocide of the Lakota people was written by L. Frank Baum, the man who would later write The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. There have been many others before and since that called for genocide against a race of people. Adolf Hitler and Pol Pot come to mind, but then they never followed up on their calls for genocide by writing a charming book for children. It appears to be unthinkable to most Americans that such a wonderful man as L. Frank Baum could be compared to other inhuman beasts that called for the extinction of a race of people. Even the editorial page editor of USA Today thought that and said he would have to leave out that part about Baum in my article. I told him if he did, he should just pull the entire article. He decided to run it. In 2006, the descendants of Baum asked the Lakota people to forgive Baum for the editorials he wrote calling for the annihilation. What do you think the Jewish people would say today if the descendants of Adolf Hitler approached them asking to forgive Adolf for nearly exterminating all the Jews? It's a tough question because the attempted extermination of the Jews was taken much more seriously than the extermination of the Lakota people. After all, according to the white man, we were just Indians and subhumans at that, and we didn't even have the power of the press or of the free world to support our claims to life. In order for America to expand, the people of the Great Sioux Nation had to be eliminated. December 29th will mark the anniversary of the slaughter of innocents at Wounded Knee. As is their custom, the Lakota people will gather at the mass grave where the bodies of men, women, and children were dumped, and they will pray and ask the United States government to do something it has never done in those years, to apologize to the Lakota people for this day of death. They will pray that the medals of honor handed out to the murderers be rescinded, and they will pray for peace between the Lakota and the rest of America. There will be a ceremony called Wiping Away the Tears, and this ceremony will conclude a day of mourning, a day when the Lakota reach out to the rest of America for peace and justice. Americans may have forgotten Wounded Knee and pushed it to the back pages of history, a bad memory to some, but the Lakota people have not, nor will they ever forget this terrible day. To the Lakota, to paraphrase President Franklin Delano Roosevelt from his speech on December 8, 1941, December 29, 1890 is a date that will live in infamy. And so that was Tim Gallego. He's Oglala Lakota, and he wrote that about Wounded Knee. And like I said, its anniversary is coming up on the 29th. So again, you know, this is something that people will be commemorating, honoring, remembering those people who passed away. And they do have runs and ceremonies that will be going on as well. All right, so we'll be playing. Let's see, I got some Sunba for you guys.
Support for KKFI brought to you by California's Restaurant. I'm Eddie Moore, host of the Jazz Nebula, the open jam session every Wednesday from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. at California's Saloon on Mill Street. My special guest and I host an impromptu evening of Kansas City Jazz every Wednesday night. You can learn about reservations at californos.com, but they are not necessary. That's every Wednesday from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m.
Well, you've been listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, and it's about my time to be getting out of here, and Sunset Reggae is coming up for you next, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Everybody, have a wonderful week and a wonderful holiday tomorrow, whatever you celebrate. And, you know, next week is already the new year. It's already 2018, so we got to get rolling here. So everybody have a wonderful time. Enjoy yourself. Keep warm out there. And I'll be leaving you off with some Kevin Yazzie. Everybody, see you next week.
Joe and I, 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 Joe and I,